Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
She showed a slide of the leaders of Western Europe. She said, look at these people here. These are the prime ministers of these countries. What's the average number of children that they have? And the answer was zero. All of them were childless.
I know all about concupiscence. I didn't need a church that rated concupiscence more highly than the Word of God. I was looking for the Word of God.
In the evangelical way of looking at the Bible is a compendium of epic stories of people who received a divine assignment. You too are going to receive a divine assignment.
We know that there is no permanent solution in this world. All the topical analyses are just going to put band-aids on a deep undercurrent of evil. There's only one prescription, and that is the wounds of Jesus Christ.
This is Bert from Northeast Iowa, and I listen to Issues, Etc. while sweeping the garage.
Here's the headline from NBC. Methodist Church voids key vote on pro-LGBTQ church departures. After an investigation, the United Methodist Church has found that four ballots were ineligible in a measure that passed 402 to 400. Well, it seems like a long time ago, February, when the General Assembly of the United Methodist Church met in St. Louis and took up some pretty important questions. For those who emerged victorious, that is, holding to what they called the traditional plan, it was a victory that had been long sought. And yet, there were many who were dissatisfied, wanted to disassociate from the United Methodist Church, but that brings questions about property and legal issues. Seems as though that problem's going to be revisited by the United Methodist Church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 13th of August. Mark Tooley joins us for the first few minutes. We'll get an update on the battle over sexuality issues in the United Methodist Church. We'll get a review of the movie Unplanned with Pastor Ted Geese. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., we'll discuss Mary, the mother of our Lord. The church remembers her on the 15th of August. Dr. Arthur Just, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke, will join us for that conversation. Joining us for an update on the battle over sexuality issues in the United Methodist Church, Mark Tooley. He's president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., and author of the book Taking Back the United Methodist Church. Mark, welcome back.
Yes, good to be with you again.
Take us back to St. Louis, February, and the questions set before the General Assembly of the United Methodist Church.
Well, the bishops and liberal bureaucracy were pushing for the church to liberalize its teachings on sexuality by overturning their restrictions against same-sex unions and clergy sexually active outside marriage, and instead instituting a so-called local option where congregations choose to do as they please. That was rejected, and in its place, conservatives were successful in enacting legislation that instead tightened the church's restrictions, reaffirming the church's understanding that marriage is between husband and wife only.
Of course, this brings all kinds of questions, legal, and one of them that was anticipated there in the General Assembly was, what do you do with churches that would now, wanting to affirm the LGBTQ agenda, leave the United Methodist Church? Why was that a complicated question?
Well, legislation was approved to allow dissident churches to quit the denomination with their church property, and so apparently that vote may be invalidated because several delegates may have voted without having the fully correct credentials in hand. I don't think this ruling, if it carries forth, is all that significant. The legislation was already somewhat problematic in terms of how responsibility for pensions were to be handled. And so either way, the next general conference meeting next April and May of 2020 was going to have to iron out a better plan to facilitate how dissident congregations leave, and also something that the General Conference there ran out of time to address, which was to allow whole conferences, which are the Methodist equivalent of a diocese, to depart.
So what was the irregularity described in the news about this vote that was close enough to call into question now that this irregularity has been discovered?
Apparently, several African delegates who voted were reserve delegates and supposedly had not been fully credentialed or authorized before they went on the floor of the convention to vote. The delegates in question point out that they were duly elected back in Africa as reserve delegates to fill in for those who were not present. But I think being cautious, this commission has decreed that following Robert's Rules of Order, the vote should be invalidated. And I believe for that invalidation to stand, the denomination's top court would have to agree.
So we're talking about a pretty narrow provision here within a larger set of questions that is not being challenged in any way due to these irregularities.
Well, because the other vote margins were so large, even if these several delegates had voted without being authorized, it would not have made any difference in the vote. This ruling was only because the particular vote had been narrow enough that these several votes would have potentially made a difference.
If I recall, there was some complaining by the supporters of the LGBTQ agenda in the United Methodist Church about having these African delegates at all. Am I remembering correctly?
Yes, many on the liberal side of the church in the U.S. are very distressed by growing influence of the Africans, and amid that distress, lots of allegations about improper voting and allegations of bribery, all of it, of course, unproven and rather absurd, in that it's silly to think that American conservatives would have to bribe Africans to vote what their convictions already are to begin with. But lots of conspiracy theories were circulated, and there was even a New York Times article right after the General Conference circulating some of these baseless allegations. And it's all ironic in that the Africans are already partially disenfranchised, and that at least two dozen of them apparently were unable to get visas to even come to the U.S. So there were empty African delegate seats, but nonetheless, the conservative side still prevailed.
To your knowledge, have any congregations since February acted in their disagreement and chosen to leave the United Methodist Church?
Several small conservative congregations in Mississippi have left, apparently having long been disgruntled and just wanting to set off on their own. And so the local church authorities in Mississippi negotiated their departure.
What about congregations that have supported the LGBTQ agenda? There was a lot of threatening to do so.
Threatening? I think most of them are holding back. Several whole conferences, which again are the equivalent of a diocese or a synod that are liberal, have voted to consider departure. And in fact, almost the whole Western jurisdiction of the denomination has voted to have a special session before the next General Conference to consider a potential departure from the denomination.
What would be the result of that departure, that particular large departure?
Well, if the whole Western jurisdiction of the denomination left, although it's only a few hundred thousand members out of 13 million, it certainly would be very symbolically important, and I think would take a lot of the wind out of the sails for the liberal side of the church, which already is a minority and can't afford to lose any numbers.
Would that account for some of the hesitation here, that is, this fear on the liberal side of attrition leading to even less influence in the church body?
Well, obviously, they're very concerned about their shrinking numbers and resentful of the growing African church, and I don't think have fully worked out an alternative, except that there appears to be a growing consensus in the church among conservatives and liberals that there needs to be some formal division for their denomination so that there will be a traditional Methodist church and a liberal Methodist church.
Finally, that still leaves United Methodist Church with a problem we've discussed many times, Mark, and that is that many of the liberal leanings tend to concentrate themselves in the leadership and the bureaucracy and the institutions of the United Methodist Church. What are your thoughts on that with about a minute?
Yes, overwhelmingly, the U.S. leadership is very liberal, and so are most of the clergy in the U.S. The congregations, the lay people, much less so. So any division will be very sloppy and difficult and challenging, with most clergy going in one direction and potentially most laity going in a different direction.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. He's author of the book Taking Back the United Methodist Church. You can purchase this book and learn more about the Institute on Religion and Democracy at our website, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Archives. Mark, thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be reviewing the movie Unplanned. It comes out on DVD today, and it has only recently opened in Canada, where Pastor Ted Geese does business. He's seen the film. We'll get his thoughts on this movie, this pro-life movie, when we come back. First up, why did it take so long to be released in Canada? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the new Growing in Faith Bible. It's written for children, grandchildren, and godchildren, ages 8 through 10. The Growing in Faith Bible contains more than 100 Bible stories with beautiful, engaging pictures. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Growing in Faith Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.